smart labels read.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Good evening and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 and 105.3 in New Orleans and Henderson Point, Mississippi. I'm Jenny Nicasio along with my co-host, Tom Callaway, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're on multiple platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and all over the place on different Facebook groups. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm doing well. How's everything over that way? It's been particularly hot today. And, you know, I'm still buzzing a little bit. I mean, we'll get into it at some point, but I'm still buzzing a little bit about all of the Kona Blue stuff from last week, huh? You know?
Yeah.
Still, yeah. You know, it still offends how they want to just assume that we're unintelligent and all that, but not to be expected, I guess. That's to be expected.
Well, there's so much stuff going on all over the place. I mean, I've been watching. Hi, Cindy. How are you? I'm glad you came. Indeed. I don't know. There's just so much weird stuff in. I mean, I can't explain it. I think something seriously is going on and they're covering it up big time. I mean, I don't know why they just don't. Yeah. They're just ridiculous. But, the Skinwalker Ranch and everything. But so many people, I mean, I've been keeping an eye on TikTok because it seems like TikTok has a way where they can actually get away with it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah. No. I think now here, put on my tinfoil hat, I think it's because it's not an American app. So, it might not, it'll bypass certain filters that are, in place potentially for that. We've talked to people on this very program that said that their Miami alien videos and all of that were just deleted and gone whenever they tried to upload them. So, maybe there's something with that, Facebook and Instagram and those sort of things being American-owned companies.
Yeah. And I was watching this one TikTok where they said that something's going on in the clouds. They said the clouds look different ever since the eclipse. And I got a picture. I'll have to show you.
They look different or?
They look different. They look like a simulation. And before we get started with our guest, son brought this up to me. A lot of people I know think we're in a simulation, that this isn't really real. Okay.
Well, no, yeah.
Just wait. Okay. Take for instance, your tongue. Okay. I want you to your brick wall in the back.
Yeah.
And say you lick the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel what it would feel like? Don't you know what it would feel like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you would lick this, just the outside, it's smooth. Now, how does your tongue know that? Like if you would lick,
to be fair, I've probably licked a brick wall before.
Okay,
I was a wild youth.
Okay, this is all different. This is all different, like sort of like
texture.
Now, how does your mind or your tongue knows what that feels like?
That's a good question.
Without ever feeling it, okay? Did you ever lick a tree seriously? I can feel what it feel like, real rough on my tongue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like you can gain the perspective of the consciousness of what it would do.
It's weird.
By putting yourself in that hypothetical.
And they say that's people think that's like, it's like assimilation. I don't know. Well, we'll get to that. We can talk about this all night. But absolutely. I just want to share that with you because yeah. I thought it was really weird. I
mean, that's a very good point. That's a very, very interesting point.
It's weird. Okay, so let me go ahead and talk about our guests tonight. So we have Dr. Rita Louise. She was the founder, Institute of Applied Energetics. Is that right? And the former host of Just Energy Radio. She's a neuropathic physician and a 20-year veteran in the human potential field. Her unique gift as a medical intuitive and clairvoyant illuminates and enlivens her work. She's also the author of many books, I see. Look at that. Where do you have time to do that, Rita? Dang. Boy, one is called Dang, It Was Me All Along, The Dysfunctional Dance of the Empath and Narcissist. Oh, that's a good one. Stepping Out of Eden. E.T. Chronicles, this sounds like something I would like. What Myth and Legend Have to Say About the Human Origin. Yeah, really, I want to find out about that. Avoiding the Cosmic 2X4. Now, is that a pant size for some big person? Dark Angels, An Insider's Guide to Ghosts, Spirits, Attached Entities. Oh, these are great books. And The Power Within, A Psychic Healer Primer. That's something up your tree. With your book, Killer. Well, I want to welcome you to Chasing Prophecy.
Yes, welcome, Dr. Rita.
Oh, I just magically appeared on the screen. It was like, oh, I'm on.
So first off, I want to say I love the nostalgia behind you because I come from, southeastern Pennsylvania. So, all of that looks like everybody's, barn and things like that. So I can truly appreciate the old nostalgia. It's wonderful to me.
Well, I live in a historic house, so it's like, okay, so what can you do to decorate? And, the wall, there's not enough room to like hang pictures and it's a big wall. So I'm like, ooh, tin signs, how cool. And then it gives you the opportunity to collect them.
I like that. I do like that.
A tin sign goes with my weird food ish.
Yeah, I see that moon pies. Those are crazy, huh?
I remember seeing them all throughout the stores growing up.
Yeah, definitely.
My goodness. But thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us and responding to me and being on Chasing Prophecy with our wonderful audience and over the radio down in Louisiana and Gulf Coast of Mississippi. So we are much more than Pennsylvania or Northeast up here. So I wanted to thank you again for being on. You have many, many books. You have many different stories. Stalked really your website, front, back, up and down.
I'm glad that you did.
Yeah. And it's just wonderful. And it's something that I know would really resonate with our audience because everything you seem to do, or everything you do is what generates questions, generates feedback from our loyal listeners. So one thing, that stuck out to me was, a founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Now, for someone like me, could you just, what does that focus on primarily?
And so it's a training program. So it's a distance learning training program for people that want to learn to become a medical intuitive counselor, or energy medicine practitioner. It is definitely a professional level training so that by the time you're done with the course, you will feel comfortable going out and starting a practice. So it's not like a weekend seminar, it's four modules and you practice a lot. So that again, when you get your certification and you can start working with clients, on a pay basis or whatever, that you feel comfortable in doing that work. So there's not this like mega ramp up time or, well, I took this course and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, really.
No, that's good. Many times, in any field, it doesn't have to be, you know, this, there's a rush to just collect the money, give them the degree and push them out the door. And it's refreshing to hear that you want, you know, quality over quantity, first of all, and you want to, you know, when they leave the Institute of Applied Energetics or become, you know, I'm assuming there's a certification or something, mm-hmm. a degree that they would get, right. You want it to still mean something. And I definitely appreciate that. Because like I said, there's such a rush to push people out the door, go get your practice. No. And I'm sure, you know, people that are training for medical intuition respect that too, because if they keep coming back, they're more likely to imprint on the next generation or the next group and the next group and the next group. So I find that still fascinating. And that's the way it should work, honestly, in most fields. But
you know,
with
for me, you know, I'm putting my name on the certification. So
that's true.
That.
Yeah.
You know, but in order to work as a medical intuitive or as an intuitive counselor, there's the key fact. You have to like be intuitive, and you can't go from, I don't think I have any kind of psychic abilities, to being intuitive in one weekend, you know, and having the skill set to back up, you know, what's going on. I mean, I think everyone has intuitive experiences, you know, in this moment, in that moment, but they're not reliable. And so it takes time in learning how your body responds and learning how to interact with energy and interact with people's energy. And this is the kind of things that you want to look for. And these are the kind of things that you can't just teach in one weekend. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, that's really good. I mean, you know, you're right. You have to gain the concept and the foundation before you can apply it to anything. Mm-hmm. And I bet, you know, you're right. I'm sure there's people that come, and that actually leads into the second question that I had that I wrote down after reading this is there a prerequisite? And I think you sort of started to answer that you don't have to have a psychic ability to start.
No, the biggest prerequisite is that you can read and write English, and have a computer. Those are like, okay, the biggest things, you know, because it's all communication via email primarily.
So you're saying that anybody can be taught this? You don't have to have any.
So what I'm saying is that I believe that everyone has some level of psychic
potential,
you know, and so some people are very psychic and other people maybe not so much, you know, and it's kind of like dancing or doing art. Some people are magnificent, and then there's, you know, your little stick drawing, hands in the pocket, tapping their foot, not to the beat people. You know, but usually the only place that I have found any issues, because anybody that's looking to sign up for the program already has an inkling that they're sensitive. You know, okay. So, and if they already have an inkling that they're sensitive, it means that they recognize that they have some kind of psychic ability. So that kind of like checks off that box. And the only place where it becomes any kind of rub is how we process information. The course is taught really to promote clairvoyance, you know, the ability to look at energy, mm-hmm. versus clairsentience, which is the ability to feel energy. And so even though some of the earlier classes really talk about feeling energy, you know, like, well, how does your client's aura feel, you know, and we work on that. But when you're looking to assess someone's body and you want to address what's going on in their kidney, you know, you can't look for blockages. You can't look for inflammation because it's a visual. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the feeler people usually won't sign up. How's that? You know, or they'll ask, and I'm like, you know, I can say you can take up to this level and it will support that. But once you want to move past that, there really is a visual element that comes into it.
Totally makes sense. Do you apply any other concepts to your medical intuition training, such as like Reiki and things like that?
So the program is a smorgasbord different techniques, because what works for, you know, so you can do Reiki on someone and some people's bodies respond great. and then other people's bodies don't respond at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Reiki is one course in there. You know, I cover deprogramming. I cover dealing with past life stuff. I cover doing different kinds of readings, assessing the aura, the chakras, and the energy channels, looking at and clearing meridians, you know, and then reading the emotional energy on the meridians, you know, because if there's something going on in the physical body, you know, whether it's an illness or an energy blockage, there's always some emotional piece tied to it, you know. And so to really, in my opinion, be a good medical intuitive, it's not just going, oh, well, there's a blockage here. It's helping the person to understand, you know, well, there's this blockage, you know, and it came into effect when you were 3 years old, and this is the emotional energy that was tied to it, you know, and that was like the first, the center of the corn, you know, that little nugget. But then when you were like 23, kind of in that area, you know, you had a repeat of those emotional feelings, you know, and usually like you find out they got dumped, you know, or something. And it took what was a nugget of issue and turned it into something that now is showing up in their body, you know. And so giving people that insight gives them the opportunity to address it, heal it, clear it, you know, journal about it, go to therapy about it, you know. But a lot of the times we don't recognize our history and our past can be the cause of what's going on in the physical body.
Excellent. So when we, in all of the energy-based healing that you have mentioned so far, the energy-based healing, a lot of it comes from, you know, Asia and you know, more practices over there. If I could ask you, why do you believe that those energy healing, you know, over in the Orient have not caught on so much in Western culture?
Oh, that's a pretty loaded question.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say it all has to do with the book. If I just say that, have I said enough?
Yes. Yes. I know exactly what you mean. You know, we love to treat, you know, well, first of all, with the book and where this stuff comes from. Yes. Because, you know, our certain culture is derived from a certain book as well. That might be different than that one over there.
Well, I'm talking about our book, you know, that it makes it so that people don't want to touch it. Like it has cooties. You know, my mom, I'm going to share this story. My mom had Parkinson's disease, you know, and it really becomes a big mobility thing. And yeah. So in my medical opinion, you know, mm-hmm. people that have that issue, they need to be up and moving around best they can, you know, even if it's just walking around the house yeah. or doing anything to keep the muscles active. And so my mom had a Tai Chi video, which for where she was at the time was appropriate. It didn't really require walking. You know, it's just, you know, Tai Chi is pretty stationary in the general sense of the word, but there's movement required and you kind of have to bend your knees. And my sister-in-law, who I love to death, but is pretty hardcore Christian, told her that it was devil stuff. Mm-hmm. And she shouldn't mm-hmm. do it. And my mom got rid of the video.
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm glad.
It hasn't caught on here because, you know, it is, you know, seen by a lot of people as being taboo.
Really? See, I never thought that.
Well,
I never thought Tai Chi was anything but.
Well, I don't mean
energy. No, I haven't either.
I just mean anything, you know, metaphysical, spiritual, that, and I'm just going to say it, that doesn't say Jesus said.
Yeah. You know, I can, you know, I can definitely see that because we did come from a, you know, a people over here that were very, you know, religious and Protestant. You know what I mean? We ultimately we came down from them and Catholic. So when you have things that are in the spiritual world that you can manifest, it might not be in line with those teachings. I absolutely agree with that. But also, as it comes to now and more today, there's just a lot more money, and I'll say it, there's just a lot more money in treating a symptom than getting rid of it.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, you know,
people aren't really interested in, they want the magic bullet.
Yeah, they do.
I have a lot of clients who you will put them on a supplement, and or they're not even my clients because we have the talk, you know, but they'll come to me and I'll be like, well, you know, I'd like for you to take blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I took that already. I'm like, well, how long did you take it? 3 days and it didn't do anything. I'm like, that's not how natural stuff works.
No.
Then we have the talk, you know, about it's going to take your body some time to unwind, and, you know, but it's healing the body. It's not just masking the symptoms. Medications only mask symptoms. They don't heal.
You're exactly right. And we have our first question from Cindy. Sounds very interesting. Do you pay for the complete course or sections at a time? And can you complete in your own time frame?
Okay. Yes. It is broken up into 4 modules that you can purchase each module alone. And it is, you know, all self-paced. And, if you could, I don't know if you could put this up there, but the main website, so you can get to it from my personal website, which is soulhealer.com. But there's a more direct link, which is AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com. And that has a list of all the courses, and you can sign up for my free 50-page jumpstart your intuition guide, where you actually get to like play with some psychic tools.
All right, it's just in the chat for everybody, so please go direct yourself to the chat for the link. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was done.
Okay. But yeah, no, I had to think of that question because I forgive me, but I thought you were going to go there with your answers and with that anything. But here in Chasing Prophecy, we ask the questions, right? So, you know, I had no idea. And I'll just hop on this story for a little bit. I had no idea about energy healing. I had no idea because it's so not talked about over here. And if you just, because of the break fix mentality of what our medicine is, that it takes time and you heal your body, which heals itself type of thing. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, like I have a headache and I take an Advil, if it doesn't work like that, it's no good. Throw it all away. It's not good. And so when, you know, I was never a meditator, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with all of our listeners. I was never a meditator. I'm still not a very good one, but I try. You know what I mean? And once I got that, I felt, you start to get a feeling of relaxation that you haven't had before. And I'm only scratching the surface. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm doing all this kind of stuff. But, you know, opening your mind up to that is wonderful. Go ahead.
The reality is that, and I'm going to say this out loud, we all do a certain amount of energy work on ourselves.
I agree. We just don't know it.
You know, you bang your knee on the coffee table. What's the first thing that happens? You know, you sit there and you hold it and you send positive vibes to it.
Definitely.
Or when you were a little kid and you banged your finger and you ran over to your mom and your mom like went, oh,
yes,
energy work, you know, but people don't connect the dot like you're already freaking doing it.
Yeah.
And don't put a name on it. And so it just seems weird and mysterious. And energy work, you know, it is kind of weird in and of itself. You know, you have to be kind of sensitive to feel somebody working on you. But there are results. So my late husband would have really bad indigestion. And so he, you know, like the sphincter muscle at the bottom, at his stomach didn't close properly. Mm. So, And then he would like eat chili and, you know, eat stuff that was totally bad and would be laying in bed, you know, propped up, laying in bed.
Yeah.
And
he'd
be like, been there. And so me, nondescriptly, I would just like put my hand on his stomach, you know, and then like kind of like trying to hide, because when I'm working, my hand is always going, you know, and I'm like, moving my finger, like, la, 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 la. And then I start yawning. And he would look at me and he goes, are you working on me? It's like,
maybe. Yeah,
maybe. And but after, you know, like 15 minutes, it would calm down. And after a while, he would just tell me and I would just do it. And it was just a done deal. I mean, same thing. He would get migraines and he stopped having migraines.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. I've heard from other energy healers, energy workers, you know, that the physical symptoms a lot of times is the last line. You know what I mean? You can fix your aura and things like that to prevent them from happening. But again, it takes self, you know, self work. And I loved what you said, because I didn't even think of that. Yeah. When you bump, you know, everybody bumps something or knocks something, you know what I mean? And you rub it. And you think, oh, I'm just getting blood flow back into it. And that, when you think about it, there's blood over your body. It doesn't make sense. So, like, what, you know, you're actually creating kinetic energy. You're creating friction, which is your energy work, you know, right there. I had never heard about that.
But it's not even about friction. It's about putting your energy on it. So your attention on it and an intention. So your mind is focused on your banged up knee and the intention is I want it to feel better.
Yeah.
And that's how energy medicine works. It's all about focus and intention.
And is this the same thing as quantum healing? Because I used to do that all the time.
I mean, quantum healing is a form of energy medicine.
It's energy.
You know, there have been so many names that have been chalked up. It's like, well, my energy medicine is better than yours. And, you know, when I work with a client, I mean, I've been trained sort of in multiple modalities, and I just do what their body tells me to do. You know,
so because that's the advantage then is to have a tool chest of tricks, basically.
But sometimes it's like I just make weird stuff up. It's like, huh, okay, you know, because it's like I just get. My personal favorite, you know, and I want to say weird one, but it was a weird one, was I was working on a client and the message I kept getting was, I want you to pray. Well, I'm not a prayer. No. And he was Muslim. So I was like a lot, really at a loss. And so I asked him to pray, you know, because I'm like, okay, I don't even know how to do this. So I asked him to pray. And just kind of channeled into his prayer energy and had that go through his body. Totally made up, but it was profound. It was a profound experience on my part, you know, which makes me go, hey, this was really good.
There you go. So real quick, before we get into the next question, I just want to show this. See that, everyone? It's spring cleaning time, and boy, do I know it. There is a product called Smart Labels. Let me tell you, your future self is going to love you for getting this. Here's how it works. You buy Smart Labels QR code labels on Amazon and stick them on your storage bins, boxes, totes, anything that closes and you can't see what's in there. Download the Smart Labels app from either the Google Play or iOS App Store, scan the QR code, and catalog all the stuff in the bin with a name, description, and a picture. Then months down the road, when you are looking for that thing you know you stored somewhere, you can just search the app and it will tell you where you put it. My summer or winter clothes? Bin 7. That purse that came back in style? Oh look, bin 5. Seriously, people are calling it organizing magic. So if you have if you're doing some spring cleaning, getting ready for a summer move, or just wanting to get organized, you need to check out Smart Labels on Amazon. That's Smart Labels, one word, and get started with your Smart Labels pack today. All right. Thank you for letting me get that readout for Smart Labels.
Well, I have a couple of clients that get totally use that.
Well, to be honest, I'm not, I use it. I've used it. I'm reorganizing the storage unit because everybody needs a storage unit nowadays. Mm-hmm. So you also have, some pretty high level functions and jobs. One of them is, chairwoman of the board of the International Association of Medical Initiatives. And I wanted to ask this because I've had people from all, you know, walks of life, and I've worked on or worked under a board of directors as well. What challenges today does your board face?
Membership.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, because it's medical intuitives, and so you have to be a medical intuitive in order to participate. You know, and you know, it's not a bad thing, you know, but, you know, we all are kind of spread out, you know, and so finding people in your neighborhood, you know, or to have a meeting or, you know, some kind of get together to do onboarding is, you know, next to impossible. So for our group, that has been the most challenging part, is finding people to reach out to see if they would want to participate in that organization.
I can imagine, because you know, it's the few and far between argument, and then also, you know, the time element, and then does technology help with, you know, could you have a virtual board?
Well, you know, it's not the board, it's the finding
the membership of the community.
It's the membership part that tends to be the more challenging. Okay. You know, because it's, you know, there's a web page, you know, but, you know, if you do any health related things, Google really don't like you very well these days.
No, not at all.
Let's everyone move over to Bing.
Are they any better?
They might be.
Bing,
DuckDuckGo, maybe.
Yahoo, or any of those were the default web browser on phones, there wouldn't be as much of an issue, but Google holds the vast majority of search engine stuff.
It does.
I mean, I don't use the rules. They piss me off, you know, because they, because I do alternative health, I'll just say it that way. But you can't get, you know, I have DuckDuckGo on my cell phone, but I'm a minority. You know, I think Google has like 85% of the shares of search engine stuff.
How about, well, I mean, it's not in the search engine market, but they do produce ads as Amazon. Have you, how has that been for you?
I hate Amazon too.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I get the Google ad thing, you know, and so you pay a lot of money, but you get nothing. Amazon, you know, I publish books and, you know, they want
Jenny and I are authors. We know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so you can sell my books cheaper than I can sell them on my website, because I can't really offer free shipping, or I can offer free shipping, but that's like a big old nut out of like any profit I'm going to make, you know, so I don't like Amazon. Plus, I used to sell used books when I had my radio show. Mm-hmm. I used to get tons of books. And so I would resell these brand new books in the Amazon marketplace. And that's where they really irritated me, where they used to charge like 99 cents for a listing, which was already kind of high. But then they changed it to like some percentage. So you have a book, you're selling it for $5. And then Amazon wants $4.50.
Yeah.
It was like, screw you. I'm not doing that. I don't even know how people can sell used books, you know, because they make a dollar.
No, they try to price you out of the market. And then, you know, eBay is not much better. Nobody goes on there anymore because you don't know what you're going to get. We've all been, you know,
is Half Price Book still on? Halfpricebooks.com?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I used to sell all my old books.
I had a friend who opened a shop, and I'm like, here, I'll let you have these two boxes for $50. Here, just take them. And then they're not in my house anymore.
Ah, yes. See, you could have used Smart Label.
Mm-hmm. Could have.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. With so many media appearances under your belt, do you have a favorite story from any of them?
So can I tell, like, from my show?
Sure. Yeah, whichever. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so, and I will choose to not say the person's name, but it is a prominent figure in the UFO community, or was a very prominent figure in the UFO community, and was part of a series, a UFO series that aired on TV.
Ancient Aliens?
It was not Ancient Aliens. So it was a more straightforward UFO show, not an ancient mystery type UFO show.
Gotcha. Mm.
And so I'm interviewing him because he had just had a book come out, and I'm talking and we're visiting, and in the background was a set of French doors, you know, glass French doors. And this woman in a long shirt walks past the glass door and into this room. So my friends, cause I totally edited it. My friend says, the look on your face was phenomenal, because I'm like not laughing and I don't say anything, but I'm like,
that would get me
bad enough. And then like 20 minutes later, she comes back.
Oh,
who was this lady?
I'm assuming it was his wife.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I mean,
but
he was in his living room, or, you know, a den or whatever. But that was a little unexpected.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, that's always, you know, that's always the thought, right? Is, you know, something in the background, and we always are looking, man. That would get me. I'm telling you, that really would get me.
Let's talk about some of your books, like the E.T. Chronicles or Dark Angels.
Sure.
What's the E.T. Chronicles about?
So the E.T. Chronicles looks at the history of the Earth based on the mythic record. And it starts with in the beginning, and it goes to, I'm going to say, just after the flood narrative. And one of the things that I found in my research is that on Earth, there really is a global story that is told that starts with in the beginning and ends kind of after the flood story. And there's a level of consistency that you find in the Americas, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Australia, in South America, of these stories. Now the details maybe are a little bit different, but the core concept is always the same, you know, and there's a certain level of narration that that comes out the same. And in those stories, you know, they're the stories of the gods, you know, and at some point in time, humanity, and in this book, humanity was created in the second to last chapter of the book. Because there was all this prequel of this going on and these wars happening and people taking over and again, consistent around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you find after the flood story, and I couldn't find any other parallel, and so I kind of go with this story. I don't really talk about it, but you know, after the flood narrative in the Bible, we have the Tower of Babel, you know, where everybody goes and they speak their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And after the flood narrative, the style of stories change, you know. So in the early myths, we're part of the gang, you know, we're part of the hood, and we're riding in the car with them, and they do something really bad, you know, like Enki. Rapes this woman, you know, and even though it's looked down upon, you know, it's just like, you know, because they're part of it. And after that, the view of the narrator changes. And so you're not part of the gang. You're not a god talking about your buddies. You are this submissive, subservient person talking to the gods, you know? So you have Moses talking to God. You have, you know, from the story of Troy, you have Paris talking to the gods. They're no longer part of it. It's humanity's story and their relationship with the gods. And there's just a selected group that interact with them, where before, you know, the gods are just hanging out, having parties and stuff.
You know, there's a lot of similarities with that. And then your, well, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and then, you know, what the taboo form that not many people talk about, or the Anunnaki with Enki. You know, I completely agree with you about that, because a lot of similarities. It's just a different version of who's telling the story, but it all seems to have similar concepts underneath, you know, major religions with the flood narrative. And then, you know, the Anunnaki here and us, if you were to believe that line of thinking, that we were hybridized, you know what I mean? From the primates on the planet and theirs to, for whatever reason, some say it was to be a slave race. Some say it was after their own slave rebellion, whatever it might be. That's up for interpretation, but I love that the narrative.
What I found, you know, speaking specifically to those points, you know, so the whole hybridization part,
yes.
You know, the only originally, okay, so this was my criteria. If I found a story that I found compelling, I would start looking for it in other cultures, you know, or a narrative.
Yes.
And if it was Greek and then I found that it's Sumeria, you know, Egypt, Sumeria, but if I found it in Australia, or if I found it in India, or if I found it in China, or if I found it in South America, I would like ding, 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 because how the hell did it get there?
You're exactly right.
Okay. So that was my criteria. So like Atlantis, I had people get mad at me because I don't talk about Atlantis, but there's only one narrative that I ever could find about Atlantis, you know? And so it's like, sorry, there's not corroboration anywhere. You know, so a lot of people point to the biblical text, you know, and in those days, the Nephilim, the giants, walked the earth, and the sons of God made it with the daughters of men, and their offering were the Geborim, the men of wisdom.
Yep.
And I'd never really found parallels until, there's an until. I'm kind of weird, and I actually read the Ramayana, which I found to be a very interesting book, written all in verse. And in the Ramayana, it talks about how Vishnu, their supreme god, knew that Rama in the future was going to battle the demon god of Lanka. And so he tells all of the gods to mate with the apes and bears to create this hybrid race. And this hybrid race would have the characteristic of the parent. And, you know, so they were intelligent and blah, blah, blah. But in the biblical story, it's a torrid thing. And in the Ramayana, it's a blessed event.
I guess it's whatever side of the coin you're viewing it from.
You know, but it's still, you know, the gods came down, they mated with the animals on the earth, and this hybrid race were men of renown. Just the Geborim, same, same. So,
yeah, we've always, for as long as we've been us, it seems we've been looking for, you know, that answer, that bring down the mating thing. And you're right. I've done, you know, countless research as well. And everything you're saying is so true that, you know, I love when you pointed out the fact that when you're talking about, if it's Egypt and Sumeria, you know what I mean? Middle East to Greek, it's pretty close. You know what I mean? Geographically on the whole world scale, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you found it in an Oriental culture, you found it in South America, you found it in North America where there's major barriers and it's still getting across, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, people. That's mm-hmm. all I have to say about that. It's wonderful. So
I need to go grab a lozenge.
Sure.
You okay?
Usually I have stacks of them here, but gotcha. I cleaned my table off because I had company.
Okay. But so another book that struck my eye over here is Spirits and Attached Entities. With you and energy healing, how do they, are you able to rid people of attachments?
Sorry.
You're good.
So the book title is actually Dark Angels. And, you know, so dealing with an entity is a challenging thing. They you can get rid of them, you know, but an entity, excuse me, but an entity is attached to a person for a specific reason, for the most part. Sometimes it's a fairly casual reason and you can get rid of them, but other ones are deeply embedded and tied to your emotional state because mm-hmm. they feed off of a certain negative emotional vibration. And so if you're in a period and you get triggered and you go into this negative thought space, you basically are dissociating from your body. And it's also like hitting the big black button on the bat phone, calling the entity and going, hey, she's like doing this like funky yeah. emotional energy. So come on in and drive.
Make yourself at home.
No, because the more she's cranking out that energy, the more I'm going to be able to feed.
Gotcha.
And so okay. you hear a lot of people will complain. It's like, well, I've worked with all these healers and the entity always come back. But the entity isn't always in your auric field. The entity only enters your auric field when your personal energy is down and you're in that negative thought space. And so they might do energy work on you and help you regain your wholeness and regain yourself, which moves the entity out. And so maybe you held that space for a really long time. But then that same emotion got triggered again and the entity came back. So they never really resolved the entity. They just moved it out of your space. And so I'm working with people, you know, I really focus on what's that emotion and what do we need to do to clear that piece in you so that you're not being triggered into that place.
I understand that. Yeah. So let's just say your consciousness imparts on your reality then.
What do you mean by that?
You manifest these attachments by changing your energy. You know what I mean? If I want to be negative and negative for negative sake and don't work on myself, that's what throws that beacon up, that bat signal, that whatever it is to bring or to allow something into you to attach to you and feed, which okay. I'm assuming so makes sense.
I'm going to get a lot clearer because this freaks people out. So
it's freaked people out.
The most common place that people have an entity or get an entity attachment is in childhood. You know, and it's children that have been brought up in a dysfunctional household that have experienced a lot of trauma, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a shame.
The second most common place is where people have some kind of an addiction issue, where it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, computers, whatever. You know, so those kind of people, it's really easy. Stop doing the offending behavior, no more entity issue. You know, but like And this is why I want to be clear, because then I have people coming to me. It's like, I went to a cemetery.
Oh, jeez.
I touched a cord. Now I have an attached entity. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Gotcha.
Sorry, you know, Nicole. If that happened to me, I would be out of there. She said she has spirits call her by name. That's scary.
Yeah.
You know, but she just might be psychic and hear the spirits. It doesn't mean, so when an entity, when it's an attached entity, they thrive on your negative thinking and your negative emotional space. And so just because spirits call doesn't mean that they're an attached entity. You know, just because you have ghosts in your house doesn't mean they're an attached entity.
Gotcha.
Separation between the two. I mean, there's ghosts freaking everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard many, you know, say that it and be with kind of in a heartbreaking way that, you know, there is a lot of individuals who don't know that they have passed either.
Mm-hmm.
That's or have not gone into the light yet is something that I'm, you know, referring to. And to me, that's heartbreaking. That's sad. You know, I've heard that before that, you know, and that's always been the thing that's sad. The addiction thing, you know, and childhood thing, that makes a lot of sense to me because, especially for the addiction, the path to get you right is more of a spiritual way. You know what I mean? To help you not use the offending substance. But as time gets older, technology gets better, a lot of the addictions are transcending from physical substances to your right, to gambling, to gaming, to computers, to things that money, spending, that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm scared to see where that goes, because I mean, you know, okay, you can live your life without gambling, but when it's computer and it's gaming and it's on the computer, that's going to be really tough.
You know, but it's not everyone that has that issue. So, mm-hmm. And I'm kind of conjecturing here a little bit. So one of the things that's tied to it is, so there's our stress response system. So there's fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And so where I tend to see the attachment happen is in people that tend to be more of they're freezers, you know, and so they tend to dissociate from their body because that allows the entity to come in, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of take control, you know, so it really kind of reduces the population down. And again, you know, and I've never had somebody have an issue with gaming. I have never heard that. Now, where I have had a couple of calls, not a lot, but a couple of calls from concerned moms, and usually I want to talk with my client, but sometimes there's a mom that has a, you know, adult child, you know, in their 20s or 30s, and they get into and this is going to sound terrible, but they'll like get into conspiracy theory stuff. And then they just go down the rabbit hole, you know, and it's in that going down the rabbit hole that the entity likes, because now you're like laser focused on, well, wait a minute. What about this? Wait a minute. What about this? Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What about this? Which is that cycle of negative thinking. I mean, if you're like killing stuff at Halo, you're not in a cycle of negative thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the common denominator is that cycle of negative thinking, you know, and usually the computer people, you know, those people become very paranoid, you know, as a result, because that's where their rabbit hole takes them.
Okay. We got to wrap it up soon. Like any minute now. Tom.
So Rita, can you let everybody know? Thank you so much. And let everybody know where they can find you and, you know, let them know if you're working on anything else.
Okay. So people can find me. My webpage is soulhealer.com. That's soulhealer.com, soulhealer.com. And you can find all of my books there, which always come autographed, unlike Amazon. There's tons of articles. You can get that Jumpstart Your Intuition guide on my website. You know, you can schedule a private consultation with me, all that good stuff. But something I would like to leave the listeners with is on Thursday night, I do a live stream. It's called Thursday Night with Dr. Rita Louise. And and I have a topic every week. And after, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes, I open up the chat and people can get free on-air psychic readings from me. Oh, you know, that's so wonderful. It's a lot of fun.
Is that on your website?
Excuse me?
Is that on your website?
No. But no, because anyway. But the way that they can find it, all right, I've had to like go through this and figure it out. The easiest way for them to find it and interact is by going on YouTube to Just Energy Radio. Three words, Just Energy Radio, because it's all just energy. And 7 p.m. Central, Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, and clicking the live link. And through that portal, you'll be able to join the chat, ask for a reading, you know, look at the love relationships that are forming online, you know, all the really good stuff. So okay. Thursday night. And it's really fun. And you get to hang out with me.
Sounds good. Yes. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks, okay. Guys.
You're welcome.
Take care. Okie doke. Sounds good. Did you want to play the commercial before we head off?
Yeah, sure. So we have a new commercial, guys. We're going to also be promoting Jenny and I's book and a little something. So we're going to add this and we'll leave you all with that.
Antha survives a tragic accident thanks to Lucian, an enigmatic being. Her newfound abilities catch the attention of a secretive government agency. Drawn to Lucian despite the danger, Samantha is unaware of his true identity. She teams up with Lucian's brothers in a daring mission to rescue him. Accused unfairly, Lucian seeks refuge on his distant homeworld. Can Samantha prove Lucian's innocence and save their forbidden love? Available now. Get your copy on Amazon and BNN.
Over the centuries, occurrences from the enigmatic realm have become less, well, enigmatic. So if conversations about the supernatural, myths and legends, mind-bending conspiracies, and haunting stories of ghosts are things you take seriously, we have the podcast that you can call home. Chasing Prophecy. Just because something is unexplained doesn't make it any less real. We're more than just a podcast. We're a community for those who dare to look beyond the scope of normal. For those who are aware of the abstract and interact with a show that speaks to them. Broadcasting from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, the show stands out as the city's premier paranormal radio program, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Come and hang with host Jenny Nicasio and Tom Kaway on Chasing Prophecy.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs. Dare to heal the wounds of the mind. Healer, read it today.
Welcome to the extraordinary world of the Chasing Prophecy radio show, where we delve into the mysteries of the universe and the depths of the human mind. Our listeners are a unique blend of curious minds and adventurous spirits, always eager to learn, explore, and discover. They're not just listeners, they're a community. And what better way to reach this vibrant, engaged audience than by advertising with us? When you advertise on Chasing Prophecy, you're not just buying airtime. You're becoming a part of a conversation, a part of our family. We offer a variety of advertising packages tailored to fit your needs and budget. And with our dedicated team, we'll ensure your message resonates with our listeners. So why wait? Grab this opportunity to amplify your brand with Chasing Prophecy Radio Show. Let's embark on this journey together. Chasing Prophecy Radio Show, where your brand meets our community. Fill out our advertising form on our website, www.chasingprophecyradio.net, to get started. That's www.chasingprophecyradio.net to get started.
Woo!
There you go. Woo! We definitely should play this earlier, maybe in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a good, branch in between us opening it up, talking, and then having the first guest on.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, everyone, it's time for us to go. So I hope you can join us again next time.
Another wonderful guest next week. Oh, thank you, Cindy. Very nice.
Well, have a great week. Enjoy the weekend coming up.
Yeah.
And thanks again for tuning in to Chasing Prophecy Radio on FM 105.7 and 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi. Good night, everyone.
Bye, everyone.